I master the art of living by being guided by my internal compass. I master the art of living by being guided by my internal compass. I master the art of living by being guided by my internal compass. Now, what does that mean? Well, some people call it their conscience. Their conscience is what guides them. Remember Jiminy Cricket? Mm-hmm. He was Pinocchio's conscience. He wasn't always on duty like he should be, you know. But he was off playing around. They never did tell us where he was playing around, though. Did you notice that? But he came back and he was always saying, Jim, Pinocchio, what are you doing? You know, shame on you. What are you in that cage for? And so forth and so on. Well, anyway, I master the art of living by being guided by my internal compass. Within me, I have that which always points to the right, to the best, to the finest, to the good for me. And I follow it. I follow it because I feel very comfortable. Whenever anything presents itself to me, I just know what to do because I listen. Because along with the desire to do something is the information on how beneficial it is to me or how not beneficial it is, or how much fun it'll be or what the repercussions are. Like when we were kids and they loved to throw stones at the windows of the vacant houses, you know. I don't know, there's just something about that, you know. It's something being naughty, but you're not really hurting somebody, but you really are, you know. And we all thought about that. I personally never got a thrill out of it, but I was oftentimes with people who did. And that was not too cool. There was a house on our street near us, and it belonged to the Austin family. And the Austin family lived up the street from us in a smaller house. But this had been the family's palatial estate, a large piece of property, big windows, what do you call them, from the early classic windows and stuff like that, Gothic windows on them, stuff made out of wood and stone, big rooms in the houses, wooden floor. Oh, it was a gem if we had just been intelligent enough to do something about it. And we would slide down the front yard because it sloped right on down to the road. The estate used to cover the whole area, and then they sold it off little by little. And the Austins were living in very little amount. They had enough to live in Wauwatosa, so they really were not doing too bad. But the depression was on, and other things was on, and it's just they were not happy. And in the system of not being happy, the husband was missing someplace. I never did see the father. But the son had to go to the service like all the rest of us. But he was missing in action. And he never came home. Missing in action. He was over in Germany someplace, you know. So maybe got shot or something, you know. But we never heard from him again. And the war was over and life went on, and Chucky Austin, Chucky, he just never came home. And his sister, Sissy Austin, always came over and called, "Oh, Junior," to kind of come out and play, you know. But our internal compass tells us what things are right and what things are wrong, what things we should do and what things we shouldn't. And the Austins had been very wealthy. And then they met with hard times. And in the process of meeting with hard times, they became very sad because they had known wealth and now they knew mediocrity, you know. And see what happened to them? Their son was lost in the war. Now, they never knew what happened. To get shot and be dead is fine because you know where it's over. But to be missing in action, that is a terrible thing. I think they shouldn't allow people to say missing in action. They just say shot dead, we just haven't found the body, you know. And that way, if the person comes back, fine, but you can release them and let them go and get on with your life. People who don't have a conscience, they are not disturbed like the man with the mafia, you know, who shot people and just did what his boss told him without thinking about it. But when he found out that that wasn't nice from his girlfriend, he couldn't do it anymore. A conscience really steers us in a very powerful way. And when we start working in our life and working toward a very positive consciousness, we can achieve great and wonderful things. But how many of you would like to have a conscience? How many of you would like to have an inner compass, an internal compass that directs your life? Not directs your life, but at least points to the better things. Well, you know what some people do? And this happens all too easily. Mark and I were flying down to El Centro to speak at the church down there. And I spoke at the church. And then after church service, it was maybe 10 o'clock, 11. So we got in the plane, started heading home. And the compass has a to and a from on it. Mm-hmm. And instead of following the to, I started following the from. And you know what that did?
Yeah. Hmm? It led you into Mexico.
Took me right across the border. I said, Mark, there's no cities here. It's all so dark. Why is that? And he looked around. He said, Dad, you're going south. Ah! He said, slowly turn around and go north. But you see, even with a compass, your internal compass, you can take the wrong end of it and think you're doing the right thing. Now, when you're driving the interstate on the freeways out here, you're going to Northern California or Southern California, and you're in the middle, and you get off the freeway and you have something to eat, and then you get back on again without thinking how you got off. And you start heading the wrong direction, and you don't know you're going the wrong direction until you see one of the road signs that says South 5 or North 5, mm-hmm. and you want to go the other direction. And so you say, whoops, you know, and then you pull off and get to go in the right direction. But our internal compass is really of no value to us unless we are alert. Because we can find ourselves doing all sorts of things that are difficult, all sorts of things that are limiting us. And when we limit ourselves like that, it's really a shame. I have a feeling that the internal compass of that dog is not set to do the duty outside. I mean, he has done 4 duties in the house here today while I've been here. And if he does 4, I can imagine he would do many more if he had the opportunity. Now, if we're going to keep him, we're going to have a special program of training for him to have him do this. The program that we have had is not sufficient. It's not adequate, unless you want to let him piss all over the carpet. But I say, get a book, read a new program, and follow it, and do it, or else he goes. Don't, because he needs to have a compass that shows him, and so far we haven't given it to him, apparently. At least he didn't hold on to it. We want to follow the compass. We want to follow what is right and do what is right. And that includes him going potty outside and not inside. Because if he's going to do potty inside, we'll have to put his house outside and he'll live outside. And you say, well, that's terrible. Well, we're not running a house for the dog. We're running the house for ourselves. And you know me, when LeBaron and LeDuc, if they wouldn't have done their duty properly, they would have gone. And they did their duty properly. So we're going to have that guy do his duty properly. Because he knows how, and you all have a big difficulty with him. You say he's smart. But you don't respond to that smartness. You don't say, he is smart and always goes outside. He's smart and always, and you just try to catch him in the act. You don't catch him in the act. Because he is not going to play your game. He's not going to go right after he eats or right after he drinks or right after he plays. He's going to go before or further after. He's doing his own thing. Now, that's just my point of view. His internal compass is not yet defined. And it needs to be defined. And if it's not going to be defined, then he goes. Because we have no room around here for an untrained dog. Now, how old is he?
4 months.
4 months. And how long have we had him? 2 months at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 months. And if in 2 months we cannot potty train a dog, we better go back to school ourselves. You know? Because that's an internal compass that needs to be focused and needs to be pointed in the right direction. And one person does it, not everybody. one person trains him that you do the newspaper thing, or would you do something else? But we will not continue doing this. You understand? So, we need to have that internal compass in us, directed. And if you object and argue with me about things, you're not getting your internal compass focused. And if he objects and argues with you and doesn't do his duty outside, well, his internal compass just is not being programmed. And we want to program that. So, whatever you do about it, let's just take another 2 weeks. And if we haven't got him pretty well trained within 2 weeks, I'd say we either send him to a dog potty training school or get rid of him. And we can love anything. We love anything that comes. If May and Kip would say right now she'd like to have him, we'd give it to them. So we're not possessed by him.
No.
But that's, or if Daniel feels that he'd like to have him, we say, take him. Well, now, what if Sylvia says she'd like to have him?
Then you say, take him.
And go. No, we want to do that right. So sure. Let's just get on the ball and get our internal compass focused in the right direction. And beautiful things can happen. Okay, I love you.